It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, the president will speak live. In less than an hour, we'll go to that live on the tornado in Oklahoma. Unbelievable. We were just, first of all, digesting the horrible news, and it looks like there are maybe up to 40 more people that are dead that have not been recovered yet.
They've been recovered, but they just haven't been processed by the medical examiner yet. So,
right, and identified, pardon me. So, but at any rate, we were saying that it really is unbelievable. Jackie reported at the top of the hour that Tom Coburn, who is the senator, Republican senator from Oklahoma, is saying he wants offsets. This is his own state.
Yeah.
He wants offsets in spending before...
Yeah, in the national budget, before money goes to his state.
Spending cuts before we give money to my state.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. But, okay. I mean...
Spending cuts. And, of course, he's one of the ones that voted against funding for Hurricane Sandy relief.
Right. Well, I suppose at least he's consistent in being a jerk. So there's that. But anyway, it's...
When you're a senator, you're supposed to advocate for your own constituents and then figure out how to pay for it later on.
Yeah.
That's how we do things.
The latest thing I'm looking at, 91 feared dead after massive tornado. Yeah. 20 children are among the dead. We were just saying that, it's amazing after Sandy Hook that these stories are horrible. You know, they obviously, if you were following the, breaking news yesterday, you weren't sure, you were hoping they were going to get people. That horrible chyron that you see when you're watching stuff like that, right, where it goes from, it's gone from a recovery operation to a, however they, where you go, oh, no.
Right.
At any rate, so we will be, we'll look at all the latest out of there and get it to you as we get it. But it's, and we were talking about that this always starts, was there something they could have done? I guess Jackie was asking you, it was talking about, is there a better way to build
storm cellars?
Yeah, and stuff like that. And you were saying...
Well, the soil around there, apparently, is really, really hard. It's caliche. It's like concrete. You really can't dig into it without incurring a huge expense. And so what they do is they build concrete safe rooms in the middle of their house.
Yeah.
And if they can't afford that, they just hide in an interior room of their house. And when you're up against a Cat 4, Cat 5...
Yeah.
Or...
Well, because there were talk about, should they move the kids? But the problem is where? And
right.
Would it have been safer where they moved them? And but anyway, just...
Because it's so hard to outrun a tornado.
Yeah.
Especially if it's 2 miles wide.
Yeah,
as this one was.
Wow.
Yeah. If you've just woken up, a huge tornado barreled through the Oklahoma City suburbs, demolishing an elementary school. And the pictures are... I know people always make that analogy, but it's really true. It's like a war zone.
Yeah.
You just look and think, what? Oh, my God. And reducing homes to piles of splintered wood, at least, these are the numbers we're getting now. At least 51 people were killed, confirmed,
right.
including at least 20 children. Those numbers are expected to climb today. This was a helicopter reporter yesterday as this was all.
As you can see, this thing hasn't decreased in size any. And I'm actually kind of getting a little closer than I want to be to it right now. But this thing is sucking us in at about 50 to 60 miles an hour right now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's always a scary job, the storm reporters. But yesterday you saw a few of them
we're getting sucked into this thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I can't run.
No.
Well, and that's the thing with the tornadoes. Like, how do you know which way it's going to go? You could be thinking,
you have
fine.
An idea, but it could turn or
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder what the climate change deniers have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know what, if you, how much you were watching yesterday, but I was watching when I think the first reporter had to report live that the kids were dead, and you could tell he was a father, and I can't remember what exactly the
dialogue. And he's a member of that community.
Dialogue was, but it was just like, having to report on those human moments. This is,
look at that school. Look at that school, guys. Oh my God. If you guys can see this, I don't know how to explain it, how to describe it. This is terrible. This is war zone terrible. It is, like you see, completely destroyed as kids run up to hopefully their loved ones. But this whole area right here, guys, is it's completely destroyed.
I'm reading, Chiron on the TV right now, and they're talking about a lot of, like you say, Chris, these reporters are from this community, so one of them, he's shooting video on the way to his son's school, trying to, at what point you stop being a reporter and you're just a parent or a community member, but anyway, helicopter reporter again.
That's another school, Linda.
Oh, my goodness.
And that one looks like, I don't know what to say, that one looks harder, it looks harder hit than any of them before.
Oh, my goodness.
as a parent, this is kind of hard to report on. We're going to stay in the air.
You look at that scene of destruction there and the small figures of those rescuers working frantically here, looking here. It's just, where do you begin? I mean, that's the question. Where do you begin on something like this?
And I have to say, I know people go, oh, it's too early to talk about, but I can we talk about climate change at all? Because are we really pretending that this is not happening more and more regularly?
This is what they predicted, that there'd be massive storms, the ice caps would melt. All that is happening right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, and believe me, I'm sure I'll turn on the radio later and Rush will accuse us of politicizing, a tragedy and yada yada.
Tom Coburn already did that for you.
Yeah.
Did he? What did he say?
No, but
saying that he needed offsets before he could.
Yeah, before he could get, because it's not a timely matter or anything. Right.
No, it's not an emergency.
They can
at all.
Wait. They can wait until we balance the budget.
Yeah. Yeah, except although I was saying you have to give them points for consistency, because normally they're giant hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Like they only want money for their district and not for, other states. But yeah, this is anyway. I guess I couldn't help but I was struck by that yesterday. I thought between Sandy and all of the stuff we've been, there is no way that you can refute what scientists are saying, that this is happening more and more regularly, more and more extreme events. And it's just, you can't even engage in a scientific argument with people that are just dummies. They're just like, oh, it only means if it snows in the east in the winter, there's no such thing as global warming. And as Jim says over and over again, it's not global warming, it's climate change. And as you said, this is exactly what they talked about.
Sarah Palin said something boneheaded like that yesterday. Oh, it's snowing in Alaska in May. What? Right. There's no global warming.
Right, right. It's extreme weather events. That's what climate change is.
Have you looked at the ice caps? Because they're pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Here is a tornado survivor yesterday in Oklahoma.
Deathly quiet. Next thing I know, you can hear everything just coming across bricks. You could hear it. You could feel it coming in. It was trying to suck the actual storm cellar out of the ground. It unlatched the door. It tried to open the door. It caved the door in. Once it ended, we, of course, got out, and I looked. My car's gone. I cannot find it. It's nowhere to be found. And there's an angel out there by the name of Brandon that brought me home to my house here. And when I got home, I realized that there's nothing left of my house. The front is still standing, but the back is gone. My bathroom, honestly, is untouched. We've lost animals. We've lost everything. We don't have anything left. And my parents, I can't get a hold of them. We have no cell. So if they're out there and they're watching, please let them know that I'm and my family's okay, and we'll make it. We'll be okay. But everything's gone.
Oy, imagine thinking of yourself as a lucky one, which is, and by the way, you were saying, I know for me as an animal lover, I probably can't watch the video that you were watching, although there's a happy ending.
A woman was talking to a reporter on the air live, and she was saying that, she couldn't find her dog, her house was gone, and then I guess, I haven't gotten to that point in the video yet, but I guess during the live interview, the dog emerges from the rubble and runs to the woman. And they're reunited.
I can't even hear the description of it. I'm like, oh, the whole thing is just, oh boy. Anyway, awful, awful. One more survivor yesterday.
We thought we died because we're inside the cellar door. We locked the cellar door once we saw it coming. It got louder, and next thing you know, you see the latch coming undone, and we couldn't reach for it, and it ripped open the door, and It just glass and debris started slamming on us. We thought we were dead, to be honest.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people saying that yesterday. Mm-hmm. I got to say, it's terrifying. The only thing I think back, because I obviously didn't grow up in that area in the Midwest, all I can think of is the movie Twister. But I mean, because it looks like a movie if you're not used to those kind of events. It is just terrifying. Yeah. I mean, the number of people that that just absolutely must have thought they were dead.
Sure.
And, anyway, all right, so awful, awful news, obviously, this morning out of Oklahoma. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Curious people that have lived through stuff like this. I mean, unfortunately, it is becoming more and more, prevalent, and it's just our thoughts and prayers, all that stuff. I know it's oversaid, but go out to Oklahoma this morning, 15 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You see the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by Carbonite. All right, Chris, because he's a man, is the one that had to watch the woman finding her dog, which was all she had left in the world in the Oklahoma. We posted that up on my Facebook page.
Oh, my God.
And Boys Don't Cry, but he did.
I did.
I can't watch it because I'm at work. It was after work, I'll watch it.
It was a tiny, you know, little bit of good news that
yeah,
came out.
Yeah, she was talking. Well, I mean, again, I only have dog children, so
but
she literally has nothing else in the world but this dog. She's talking to a reporter.
Yeah, she's a very lonely, you know, elderly woman, and, you know, the dog comes crawling out of the rubble, and and she, at the end, she says, well, I only ask God. Only ask God for two things, and now he's answered both my prayers.
Okay.
So.
All right. See, you can't even. All right. This is not safe for work in the sense that if your workplace does not like crying, don't do it. Don't do it right now. All right. Oh,
but that's up on your Facebook page.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Corky in Rochester. Hey, Corky.
How you doing? Here we go again. That Kenyan socialist handing out money again with no offset.
Yep. Yep.
You know? Yeah. I mean, these Republican governors, if they believe in God, they got to wake up in the morning and see Jesus.
Again, you know, as I was saying, you got to give Tom Coburn, the Republican from Oklahoma, who has already said he wants offsets before any spending for relief for his own state. You got to wonder, what do people in Oklahoma think about their senator this morning?
Yeah, he's not serving his constituents very well.
He's worth voting for again, don't you think?
What's that?
He's worth voting for again.
Isn't he retiring? I think he's retiring, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if it was one of his kids buried under there, if he would call for offsets before they dig him out.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Alan is in Oklahoma City. Hey, Alan.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I would just want to let you know what I experienced yesterday. I saw the thing grow just 3 miles south of my house.
Hi.
And it was really weird, you know. I've seen quite a few tornadoes, you know, here. But when it grew up, it just stood there for about 5 minutes. I mean, just straight up and down.
Alan, we were saying, you know, we're not from tornado country. How do you know? So you're 3 miles away. You're watching it. Are they telling you which direction it's coming? Were you nervous that it was going to turn and come your way?
Yeah, they told us that we were in what they call a hook echo. Radar, and when that happens, you can go out and look at the clouds, and you can see the circulation. And there was circulation everywhere around here, and then I saw that kind of a bump down south, and went back in, looked at the TV, and thought, well, I better turn on the weather, and then went back out, looked. And there it was, standing right there, just 3 miles south. So, well, in Oklahoma, you have to kind of stand there and watch to see which way they go.
Wow! You know? But you sound so calm. You weren't scared that it was coming your way.
I'm 56 years old, so I've been through quite a few. You know,
yeah.
I've seen quite a few.
Wow.
But,
well, I'm glad
that was the weirdest thing about that one is it stood straight up for so long.
Yeah.
It didn't know which way it was going. And then all of a sudden, like a big blue cloud came down on top of it, and it headed straight east. I mean, just fast, real fast.
Yeah.
And
I can't outrun anything.
Is everybody you know safe, Alan?
What?
Your family,
My whole family's okay.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah.
I had family on both sides of it.
Yeah. Alan, thanks so much for calling. Stay safe, all right? Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Good God. See, I can tell I'm too panicky to live in tornado country because I would not be that calm.
But you live in earthquake country.
Earthquake country. Yeah,
I suppose. I mean,
any minute.
I'm too panicky to live anywhere, but... Where am I going? Let's go to Jesse in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jesse.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi.
I love your show.
Thank
I love
you.
Your guys.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that I was very appreciative of Al Gore's Nobel Prize, and I wonder if it will take somebody's asparagus being disturbed before some of these deniers believe what's happening.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Not just because I'm on his network, but I was thinking about Gore this morning, too, and I just thought, you know, there are so many people that have been, you know, obviously including Al Gore, that have been talking about this for so long. And, it, you know, if you watched his movie, this is,
yes,
as Jim said, Jesse, this is exactly what he's he and scientists have been talking about, right? These extreme weather events. And, you know, I don't know how old you are, but, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know this is happening more and more often, right?
Well, yeah, yes, it is. And I am, in fact, older than you. But, boy, I'll tell you, if I was 10 years younger, I would be right on your tail.
Oh, awesome. Wow. That took a turn. That was
wow.
A conversational tornado. All right. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome.
Wow. I did not see that coming. Okay. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Go ahead. I would say that the Republicans will likely say that after a tragic weather event like this is not the time to talk about climate
right.
change the same
right.
way after Sandy Hook was not the time to talk about gun control
right.
and after the first 1,000 soldiers were killed in Iraq was not the time to ask where the weapons of mass destruction
right.
were.
Right.
And I like to call it, it's the public discourse filibuster. It's part of their, it is
yeah.
part of obstructionism. All they want to talk about is Benghazi. That's it.
Right. Right.
And they'll politicize that one.
Yeah.
Benghazi
yeah.
and the deficit.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Thank you, honey. All right, let's go to Michael in Florida, down in hurricane land. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing this
good.
Morning?
Good, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of points I'd like to make. I don't know the gentleman's name that's in your little thing there in the studio, but he said, you know, they have hard-packed soil and things like that.
Hello.
I believe John Deere makes pretty good equipment, too, biting into that soil.
Sure, but they also have a very high water table there as well.
Okay, got you on that
all
one.
Right.
But, you know, having been in the trades and been around the construction thing for most of my life, there is a way of dealing that and leaching that off.
Sure.
The point I'm
it
trying
costs
to make,
a lot of money.
Well, you know, I look at it this way. This affects us all.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the insurance agency and everything else. Being in a hurricane zone like I am, we're limited to the people that we can go to for
right.
our insurance for our houses.
Right.
And we pay a lot because of it.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you
well,
know.
Well, and we have earthquake insurance out here. I know what you
but
mean.
No one can afford it.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Sure. You know,
right.
we have literally millions of these containers that are used on the container ships.
Yeah.
They're just sitting around. They can be chopped in half, rewelded, set in the ground. There you go. You have it. And, that, you know, I'm thinking more of in the way of an ounce of prevention instead
yeah.
of a
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean,
cure.
Listen, it's not like you can't talk about this kind of stuff and solutions. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Just because I don't have purple eyeshadow, spiky hair, doesn't mean I'm not a strong, independent woman, okay?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will carry the president's speech live. The White House says at 7 a.m. Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
You can, by the way, text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10. For the tragedy, the victims in Oklahoma. The headline at this hour is frenetic search for survivors as 91 feared dead
yeah.
in tornado hit Oklahoma. Pre-dawn emergency workers search feverishly for survivors in a rubble of homes, primary schools, and a hospital in Oklahoma City suburb. Unbelievable, it's Oklahoma City again, I have to say. That struck me yesterday, having interviewed, you know, one of the moms mm-hmm. of a Oklahoma City bombing victim.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters were cleared back from the Plaza Towers Elementary School, which sustained a direct hit. Yeah. The White House said that Obama will speak about the tornado, obviously, as I said, at 7 a.m. Pacific. There was an outpouring of grief on Plaza Tower's Facebook page, messages from around the country, including one that just said simply, please find those little children. I think so soon after Sandy Hook, it's just another of these, just a horrible tragedy, you know, where I think it's, they're saying at least up to 20 of them are little kids or elementary school kids. Let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning. I grew up in Minnesota, and we don't have the category usually of those kinds of tornadoes, but I've seen them go overhead. I've listened to them go overhead. I've seen neighbors' houses totally taken out by them. And being in the basement is not a guarantee of safety. We have basements. Everyone has a basement here practically. And you go down that in the southwest corner, they always tell you, and open your windows so the house doesn't explode. But when you have something of that power, which, as you guys are saying, you know, my observation is totally anecdotal, but seriously, they just haven't been this big, 2 miles wide.
That's stunning.
You know, that's amazing. It's just amazing. The other thing I was going to say is there is something pathologically wrong, something that is diagnosable or checking for a soul that somebody would say, we got to make sure we get offsets before I'll help my people.
Right. On the day? When they're still searching for survivors? On the day it happens, you're going to talk about we need offsets? I mean,
how do you even address that? You just, my jaw drops. In my mind, this is no different than a parent who says, I'm going to pray away my child's cancer and chooses not to get treatment for their kid. Mm. You know, you're basically at that point saying, my ideology, my own zealotry is more important than the life of my baby.
Yeah.
And to me, that is the most reprehensible. You don't deserve to be a parent, and you don't deserve to be representing your constituency when your money is more important than the fact we got 20 kids dead in that.
Right.
I'm a parent, and I just cannot understand it. They didn't want to do anything after 20 babies are killed through a crazy person with a gun. They don't want to do anything now, probably. There's something really, really wrong with not only the individuals who represent us, but why are people electing these individuals? What's going on in our country? Why are we so soulless anymore?
Well, and by the way, Mary is in Oklahoma, Tom Coburn's state. Hey, Mary, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Mary, good morning.
Good morning. I'm from Oklahoma, and Tom Coburn, he's reprehensible, and I'm glad he's not running again for anything. Because he is totally, every time you talk to him about anything, he always goes back to his Republican talking points about, oh, it will cost too much money. And we had a young person who was Native American who discussed the Violence Against Women Act with Tom Coburn. And Tom Coburn said, well, it will cost too much money. And I think I'm glad he's not going to be running anymore. And I think Jim Inhofe is equally as irreprehensible because we haven't heard from either one of them in years.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Mary, I have to wonder if that's connected to him retiring, that he would dare to say something like that on the day of this tragedy, that he wants offsets before he gets, financial help for his own people and his own state.
Well, you see, the people here in where I live anyway, they would vote for him because they hate Obama so bad.
Yeah.
They hate Obama so bad that they would actually vote for, I don't know, Hitler.
Yeah.
Because and Tom Coburn and everybody just flames those things, that, you know, that racism thing around here.
Mary, what do you think that is?
Well, we have indigenous people here, and he doesn't help us any. And so I don't know what his deal is.
Mary,
all I know is he's a first-class panderer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary, from, you know, someone that lives in an area like that, do you understand it? When you say people hate Obama, I guess I really don't get it.
I understand. Why? I understand because he's black.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mary.
And he's, you know, and they buy into, you know, the propaganda that he's a socialist, that he's a communist, that he's a community organizer, that he ran around with Bill Ayers. That sort of stuff resonates with people like that in a red state.
Yeah. I guess Fox and others have so successfully built a cartoon that
they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did. I mean, they did the same thing with Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
When I moved from California to Arizona in 2000, the people I was working with just hated Bill Clinton with the heat of a thousand miles. And I'm like,
I don't
why?
See. I hated George Bush's policies, but I don't. It's weird to me to hate a person that I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
You know, but that's the way it is.
Deborah in Chattanooga, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Deb.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I was going to talk about global warming, sort of, but here in Chattanooga, in on April 27th, 2011. That was the day they had the big tornado in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I believe.
Right.
Well, we did not get a whole lot of press on that, but we had at least 9 that I can count EF3 and EF4 tornadoes come through all our little satellite towns around Chattanooga.
Right.
Wiped out one town that was on the news, Ringgold, Georgia, wiped out the high school. We've had 2 tornadoes in 30 years, and in one day we had 9.
Yeah.
And several of them were EF4s.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? That doesn't happen here.
Yeah.
We don't worry about tornadoes.
Yeah.
We don't worry about earthquakes. Well, you know, apparently
Deborah,
we should.
Right. Everything you're saying is obviously scientifically provable, but a lot of us of a certain age, you just know anecdotally, you're like, these kind of extreme events did not happen, you know, with this kind of frequency when we were growing up.
No, and they certainly didn't happen with this ferocity. You know, it just didn't happen. And Mary, I want to talk to her about, you know, we have the same problem here in my red state. I'm a little blue dot in a big red state, and I don't understand why people hate Obama other than that he's black.
Yeah.
You go on Facebook and you see one person
you know what, though?
Something about God and God is love and love and love and love, and the next post they put up is a picture of Obama with the word hate over his face.
I don't know if it's as simple as just that he's black, because people in red states hated Bill Clinton with the same ferocity.
Yeah. Well, they did. You're right.
Yeah. So
you're
I don't know if it's as simple as just saying that he's black.
I know, but it's a big part of it here. I really think that's a big part of it here, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I think because to me the reality is so different than the cartoon. You know, but I guess you're right. If you bought the cartoon, then you're not really having a feeling based on what the actual person's doing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that she just said, she just called from Oklahoma and said these people will vote for Tom Coburn, who just said I need offsets before I'm going to get money from my own district because they hate Obama. It just I don't know where we are in this country then politically, you know. But anyway,
it's just sad that
I know that's not new, you know, the voting against your own self-interest, but that's pretty stark.
Yeah, it is. We have a little bit of breaking news as well. The official death toll right now has been lowered to 24 people because of confusion over people that may have been counted twice or whatever. But
it just
kind of illustrates, you know, the confusion that was going on yesterday.
Yeah.
The authorities cautioned that the death toll could obviously change again and be ratcheted up again.
Eddie in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Stephanie? Good. Go ahead.
I was just calling because my biggest concern is the fact that, you know, with no shelters and whatnot, but, you know, and that's a tragedy in itself in a situation. But my biggest concern, too, is the fact that the Democrats itself, Democratic states seem to be waiting, like Louisiana and Sandy. They seem to be waiting forever for their relief, but yet Texas, they got their relief right away. And I'm kind of wondering, too, you know, with Oklahoma, I don't know if they're Democratic or Republican. It seems to be Republican, but I'm not sure.
Oklahoma is a very red state.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I figured it was, but
yeah.
I was just concerned, too, you know, with everything else going on. You want relief for everyone, but I'm just concerned, wondering why the Democratic states aren't getting any help from the Republicans to get the relief they need for Sandy Louisiana.
Yeah, well, I mean, that definitely was was a disgrace. The people who voted against Hurricane Sandy stuff. And I think that's been pointed out, too, that New Jersey is one of those states that gives back so much more than they take out federally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that all these Republicans from red states voted against it, we'll see what they do with this. I mean, but at any rate. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we'll continue with all the latest news out of Oklahoma and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Our good friend Rocky Mountain Mike lives in Oklahoma City. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hey, sweetie. How you doing?
I'm fine. I work in a building with about 300 people in it, and we're near the Oklahoma City airport. And so when you get that many people, obviously some of the people are going to be affected. When they started having tornado warnings yesterday, the building actually goes off with an automatic warning. And one of the areas where people are supposed to go to is kind of the office area where I work. So a lot of people were congregating in my office because I had streaming video of the coverage. And everybody that actually ended up in my office lives in Moore.
Oh.
So I haven't really determined exactly to the extent how much people are affected.
Right.
Because it's still kind of early here. But I just, you know, the point I guess I wanted to make was there was a lot of screeching going on in the Twitterverse yesterday. And this kind of comes back to a point that I think that Mudcap used to make about how liberals view people in red states. And I think what people in, certainly here, I grew up in Oklahoma, I think one of the reasons that liberals have a hard time sort of winning over conservatives is that at times like this, they kind of have a tendency to be a little preachy and sort of, well, we're the enlightened ones and we know all about climate change. And, and you poor saps keep electing people like Coburn and Inhofe. And that just really turns people off. And I just kind of wanted to alert everybody to that, especially when they're still pulling people out of the rubble and everything, that there's just this, you know, it's you win people over by donating and asking what you can do to help, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Mike, I take your points. We've said that, obviously, you know, many times already. Text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10. But I hear what you're saying. It's just that we said the same things during Sandy. It's not like, oh, when this hits a red state, we have the same. I'm just saying it's something we've talked about consistently is climate change.
Oh, absolutely.
I take your point, but
And I'm not speaking specifically about the show or anything. I'm just some of the things I've seen people comment, just really uncalled for stuff. And you're going to get that, you know, you're going to have all kinds of crazy stuff said.
Yeah, well, I don't know what people think about. I don't understand on the human level either. Is Tom Coburn literally on the day it happened saying, "I need offsets to get relief for my own"?
You know, I really think he's sort of covering his butt there. He doesn't want to appear to be a hypocrite, you know.
Yeah.
So
you
know, you have to sort of give him credit for that anyway. But it's, you know, the whole thing is just silly when you talk about disaster relief and stuff. I mean, it really should be as apolitical as possible. And that's what we just have to kind of remember.
But, you know, Mike, I think that's
in the first 24 hours.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the problem, though, is it just seems these days there is nothing that's not political in this climate. And that's, you know, that's what's
hard. And you have a political talk show. There's no way to avoid it. What I'm saying, though, is that I just think it's an opportunity to win people's hearts over when you say, hey, we care about you and we feel your pain. And I know you're doing that. You do that very well, you know.
Mike, by the way, thank you for your note last night, because people that obviously love you and love all the stuff that you send to the show. I know you've been running from the law, different state. No, that's not correct.
So do we need a different nickname for you?
I don't know if people knew that you moved.
Yeah, I was in Reno just to see if Obamacare would cover it.
He's changing his name to Rocky Mountain Ahmed.
That, anyway, but thank you, honey, for the I'm okay message. That is required of my friends. For a moment I had forgotten you moved back to Oklahoma. But you know, I mean, of course, that's what happens at times like this. People are panic when they have loved ones in these areas. So, what is it? I mean, you were saying that the people in your, so you may very well know people that God forbid may
well,
have been.
Well, you know, I've only been at this job 3 weeks, so I really don't know anybody. But
right.
the two or three people that were congregated in my office all either lived in Moore or had close friends that were living in exactly the affected area. And actually, Yoko Cat from the chat room had an aunt and cousin that lived right where the tornado hit, and he wasn't able to get any work on them for like 6 hours yesterday, so we were all kind of on the edge of our seats. It turns out they were okay.
Mike, this was a level 4, and I know that I'm hearing from some people that lived through the 99 one there that was a level 5 said that this seemed worse, but I mean, it really literally winds up to 200 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, and the way I understood it to be described on TV is that it was actually wider. I don't really know that. I saw the damage
2 miles
from
wide.
The 99.
Right.
Yeah, I saw the damage from the 99 one, and that was just, you never forget that. It's just amazing what it looks like. And the reporter on Channel 4 here was saying he thought it was possibly the most destructive tornado in human history, just in terms of the amount of destruction in a populated area.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the difference is the 99 tornado started earlier, and they had like a full 45 minutes warning. And it also happened after 6 o'clock in the evening where kids weren't in school. A lot of the problem here was that the parents refused to leave the area until they knew how their kids were. So they were both stuck in the area.
And how much warning did you have with this?
I watched it developed on TV. The first tornado warning was affecting an area like 12 miles to the southwest of here, and Moore is 12 miles to the southeast of here. So that was another tornado that was earlier. So that alerted us all to sort of watch the media. And so I think we watched for probably a good 30 minutes before the Moore tornado really took hold and started to have its effect. So I imagine the people in Moore themselves, if they weren't already glued to the media, may have had 15 or 20 minutes warning.
And I heard somebody commenting, it looks like we lost our hospital. I mean, that's got to be hard when the hospital is one of the things hit where you, I mean, how much farther do people have to go then that were injured?
Exactly. And also there was no way to get in and out of the area. The roads were either, you know, torn up or shut down by the authorities, and cell service wasn't working. So transportation and communication were a problem. Never mind just the emergency response. I'm sure you saw the video. It just looked like total chaos, you know, in the immediate aftermath.
Well, yeah, I mean, and just this, I remember, hearing the FAA impose a temporary flight restriction because they said they needed quiet, obviously, to search for buried survivors and stuff. So, I mean, it's just, and I guess this is not really good news, but I suppose good news, you know, for the moment that it looks like the death toll has been revised downward in the confusion for the moment, right?
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah,
it's good news, yeah.
Yeah, they, well, you know, in the confusion, some people may have been counted twice or whatever, but, obviously.
Yeah, it's been reduced to 24 right now, but that's obviously probably going to go up as they find more people.
And keep the perspective, you know, Joplin last year was what, 120 people or something? Mm-hmm. In terms of loss of life, this appears to be less, but because it was a much bigger city, and also because the coverage was there with the helicopter footage and everything, we just seem to be much more aware of it, for sure.
Yeah. Mike, thanks so much, honey, for checking in with us this morning and for the I'm safe message in particular. And again, your points are well taken, and of course our hearts go out to you, everybody there in Oklahoma. Thank you, honey.
And I'll let you know the next time I rent a U-Haul. So.
Awesome.
Okay,
please,
thanks.
Please. I microchipped you, last sexy liberal. Don't worry. All right. Love you, honey. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, awaiting the president's speech about the tornado disaster in Oklahoma. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You can text the Red Cross at 90999 mm-hmm. to donate $10.
You text the word Red Cross, no space, to
right.
that number.
Right, to 90999. Yes. Okay, and we will, as I say, go to the president live, who should be speaking any second now. Mm-hmm. All right, if you've just tuned in, this, I guess they're saying, is one of the deadliest U.S. tornado, it looks like, so far since 1900. I mean, this is, again, it's obviously a lot of confusion. The death toll was downgraded, right, Chris?
Right.
Because
to
there was 24. Confusion to 24 confirmed dead. That obviously could change as you know, we get new information in. So we will update you on all of that. But, yeah, Mike, Rocky Mountain Mike is in Oklahoma City and was talking about it. I mean, it's just incredible. 2 miles wide. And it, obviously you've seen, I'm sure by now, everybody's seen the pictures on TV, just incredible devastation. Okay, here is the president now.
Storm swept across the plains yesterday in one of the most destructive tornadoes in history. Sliced through the towns of Newcastle. And more Oklahoma. In an instant, neighborhoods were destroyed. Dozens of people lost their lives. Many more were injured. And among the victims were young children trying to take shelter in the safest place they knew, their school. So our prayers are with the people of Oklahoma today. Our gratitude is with the teachers who gave their all to shield their children, with the neighbors, first responders, and emergency personnel who raced to help as soon as the tornado passed, and with all of those who, as darkness fell, searched for survivors through the night. As a nation, our full focus right now is on the urgent work of rescue and the hard work of recovery and rebuilding that lies ahead. Yesterday, I spoke with Governor Fallon to make it clear to Oklahomans that they would have all the resources that they need at their disposal. Last night, I issued a disaster declaration to expedite those resources, to support the governor's team in the immediate response and to offer direct assistance to folks who have suffered loss. I also just spoke with Mayor Lewis of Moore, Oklahoma, to ensure that he's getting everything that he needs. I've met with Secretary Napolitano this morning and my Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor, Lisa Monaco, to underscore that point, that Oklahoma needs to get everything that it needs right away. The FEMA Administrator, Craig Fugate, is on his way to Oklahoma as we speak. FEMA staff was first deployed to Oklahoma's Emergency Operations Center on Sunday as the state already was facing down the first wave of deadly tornadoes. Yesterday, FEMA activated urban search and rescue teams from Texas, Nebraska, and Tennessee to assist in the ongoing search and rescue efforts, and a mobile response unit to boost communications and logistical support. So the people of Moore should know that their country will remain on the ground, there for them, beside them, as long as it takes. For there are homes and schools to rebuild, businesses and hospitals to reopen, their parents to console, first responders to comfort, and, of course, frightened children who will need our continued love and attention. There are empty spaces where there used to be living rooms and bedrooms and classrooms, and in time we're going to need to refill those spaces with love and laughter and community. We don't yet know the full extent of the damage from this week's storm. We don't know both the human and economic losses that may have occurred. We know that severe rumbling of weather, bad weather, through much of the country still continues, and we're also preparing for hurricane season that begins next week. But if there is hope to hold on to, not just in Oklahoma but around the country, it's the knowledge that the good people there and in Oklahoma are better prepared for this type of storm than most. And what they can be certain of is that Americans from every corner of this country will be right there with them, opening our homes, our hearts, to those in need, because we're a nation that stands with our fellow citizens as long as it takes. We've seen that spirit in Joplin, in Tuscaloosa. We saw that spirit in Boston and Breezy Point. And that's what the people of Oklahoma are going to need from us right now. For those of you who want to help, you can go online right now to the American Red Cross, which is already on the ground in Moore. Already we've seen the University of Oklahoma announce that it will provide housing for displaced families. We've seen local churches and companies open their doors and their wallets. And last night, the people of Joplin dispatched a team to help the people of Moore. So for all those who've been affected, we recognize that you face a long road ahead. In some cases, there will be enormous grief that has to be absorbed, but you will not travel that path alone. Your country will travel it with you, fueled by our faith in the Almighty and our faith in one another. So our prayers are with the people of Oklahoma today, and we will back up those prayers with deeds for as long as it takes. Thank you very much.
Okay. And I'm sure the first question will be about Benghazi from... He's not taking any questions. That's probably wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's not a press conference, really.
No.
It's just a statement.
Yes.
So.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. As Chris was saying, text just the word Red Cross.
Yep, no
to,
space.
Right.
Well, one word.
To 9099 to donate
$10. 90999.
Right. I'm sorry, 90999.
Yes.
Pardon me. Okay.
Okay.
Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Steph and the panel.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, happy belated birthday, Jim.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Recently, I don't know exactly what date, but a representative from Minnesota, Glenn Grubenhoven, I think Jim would do a better name, you know,
right.
job with that name. But anyway, he got up and spoke about that there's no climate change. And, so I looked up his number and I called him. It was at night, so I didn't speak to him directly. But, yeah, I asked him when he's going to go out to Oklahoma to help those people. Because, you know, what's his motivation? Is he being paid by gas and oil companies?
Probably.
It's just evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that Republicans are about, you know, responsibility. Where's the responsibility to your fellow citizens?
Yeah. Well, you know, and Jill, you know, you heard what Mike was saying that, oh, you know, people don't like that when, you know, you seem like you're politicizing something right when it happens. But, you know... I don't think it's politicizing to talk about science at some point, and it's not like it's just today we're doing this. We've talked about it, you know, obviously in the past. I don't know what's happened in this country where we can't even have a conversation about what might, you know, be causing this.
Right. I mean, I'm all for reaching out to, you know, the average person, but these politicians are not the average person. So I think, you know, they need to hear it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's from Minnesota. He's not from Oklahoma. So he's not going through the feelings of tragedy right now because it's not in his face. So I just,
Well, and I think we were talking about that, you know, everything is so politicized these days. But I mean, we were saying just yesterday, Sarah Palin's, you know, tweeting this dopey joke about, you know, oh, it's snowing in Alaska in May. There's no global warming. It's just like, you know, science doesn't happen on Sarah Palin's Facebook page. It actually happens among scientists.
Science doesn't happen in her head.
She's
just a bunch of cotton candy stuffed in there.
She said on her Facebook page, where, of course, it's almost like scientific journal.
Sure.
Global warming, my gluteus maximus, she wrote. She wrote with a picture of her youngest daughter, Piper, in the snow after graduation. This is what grad blast means in Alaska. We move our graduation barbecue indoors and watch the mini blizzard from around the fireplace. She has referred to studies in the past supporting climate change models as snake oil. And when she was a vice president of the United States, when she was running for that, remember?
Yeah.
Yes. She argued that humans have not influenced changes in climate. I feel like we've gone backwards on science, haven't we? In this version of the Republican Party,
science is a liberal bias. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
In her Facebook argument, Palin confuses weather with climate—a mistake frequently made by climate change deniers.
They're lying about science so that they can justify their own greed.
Mm-hmm.
Pure and simple.
And all right. Their ties to the oil.
Yeah. Well, that's part of their own greed.
Yeah. Penny in Oklahoma. Hey, Penny. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to talk about the climate change issue and why people don't understand the fact that that's what's causing us to have these ungodly storms.
Right. Right.
You know, number one, I want to say thank you very much to all the first responders because, you know, when you're out there laying in that rubble, you don't really give a rat's behind whether that's a liberal or a conservative that's pulling you out.
That's right. But, Penny, how far are you from the Moore?
Well, actually, I'm about 30 miles, but my husband works in Oklahoma City, and my son lives in Norman.
Okay.
So my husband was watching from where he worked. He was watching this happen. It was 5 miles away. You know, he was safe.
Yikes.
But the tornado that hit Norman on Sunday was 2 miles south of my son. The one in Norman was about 5 miles north.
Mm. Wow.
So he was, and I had my grandbabies here because I have storm shelter. And if you don't have a storm shelter in the state of Oklahoma, you are a total idiot. I don't care where you live,
Penny, Chris was saying, I mean, is that fairly expensive or
it
not?
It depends on the soil of where your house is.
Well, actually, and it depends on what you do. Ours was $2,000, which $1,500 of it was covered by a government grant.
Yeah.
You know, and there are government grant programs that are available to people if they would just, you know, take the time to pay attention to what's going on in the world.
Are those government grant programs well publicized in Oklahoma? Do people know about it?
You know, it's one of those things where they do individual counties at a time.
Okay.
They don't do the whole state at once.
Right.
But, like, I actually live in Logan County.
Yeah.
And I think it was 2004, 2005. On the news one night, they said they were going to open it up, first 100 people that were there. So, you know, of course, we beat feet and got right on down there and got it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope more people, you know, pay attention to that now. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Thank you for that, all the folks calling from Oklahoma this morning. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with all the latest on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What happened to Lenny Kravitz?
23 minutes after the hour.
He just acted in a big movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. If you've just tuned in, obviously we're talking, we just heard the president talking about the huge tornado in Oklahoma. The death toll at this hour has been revised downward is the good news. There was confusion. They were afraid people were counted twice, but I believe it stands at 24
right now,
confirmed.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. And 1-800-STEPH-12.
I mean, considering the size of that storm, it's pretty amazing that only 24 people.
I mean,
well, so far. Yeah.
Kevin in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
You guys were talking about the shelters.
Yeah.
The lady from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I live on the eastern end of the tornado belt, and I've been wondering why schools don't have mandatory shelters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would think. I mean, again, you know, as Chris was saying, I guess there's different, you know, soil and different.
And I have a feeling that cost is involved with public buildings like that.
Well, yeah, cost. But, you know, the cost of...
I know.
How many lives?
No, exactly, right. Kevin. And then this happens. Then an elementary school takes a direct hit, and, you know...
And people are still talking about austerity and cutting...
Yeah, including Tom Coburn, the Republican senator from Oklahoma, who would like offsets before his own district gets any financial aid from the government. Okay. Joseph in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I was, I'd never run across your program. I was just going, I had shoulder surgery and just running across TV and running into your program.
Right.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
And, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And, I just noticed where you got talking about the global warming thing, that the,
right.
the seem like y'all are supporting the totally completely supporting the scientists and on your views, but I noticed that y'all never mentioned what the Bible has to say about it, and I just wonder what your opinion on that is.
The Bible has something to say about global warming?
Yes.
What chapter? What verse?
Well, it's in Revelation. It's in Matthew 24.
What does it say? And the weak shall inherit global warming?
Well, let me ask something. Have you ever read it? Well, that's my question to you.
Have I read the Bible? Yes,
yes.
I have.
Yes.
Okay. Then you should know what I'm referring to.
Okay. But what's your point?
I mean, if you read it, then you tell me what verse it is.
No, this isn't quiz us, it's quiz you.
So, okay, Joseph, the point is you're saying this is biblical end times, it has nothing to do with science.
No, I didn't say anything. I'm not mixing science.
Well, Revelation is about the end times, you know.
Well, it talks about when the nation turns her back on God. So y'all never mention this, you never mention anything
how
about
is,
God.
How is the nation...
It's always... humanistic and secular thinking, you never reference anything as to what the Bible has to say compared to what your points are. And I wonder why y'all do that.
Okay, because first of all, you just found our show, so the fact that you haven't heard anything about the Bible in the 20 minutes we've been talking about the tornado doesn't mean we never talk about it. We do, but what I'm asking you is you think this is God's, like,
wrath?
How has the country turned our back on God?
Yeah, the country isn't Christian enough. Is that
just like abortions? Do you think that's godly?
So these tornadoes hitting a.
Do you think homosexually? Do you think that's godly? Do you think
tornadoes is the result of homosexual abortions?
You really haven't been listening to the show.
No. Oh dear. Oh dear.
It's all those gay abortions that caused the tornadoes.
Dear. Yeah.
Oh dear. In the dungeon.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Okay. Yikes. If he'd kept listening a little longer.
He would have found out he was talking to...
one of the homosexes. And apparently
maybe more than one.
Atheist.
Apparently
homosexes.
I caused the tornado in Oklahoma. Okay, then.
Yes, it's all your fault.
Okay.
It's all those
gay
abortions you've had.
Right. Exactly. All right. Perry in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Perry.
How you doing? I actually know something about holes being dug in that region. I work for an underground contractor in four states in the region, and it's very rocky or it's solid rock, and you have to drill holes and put dynamite in the ground and blast it.
That's expensive.
And it's expensive, but the utility contractors who bury their utilities that charge money for their utilities, they have no problem digging trenches with dynamite.
But saving kids from tornadoes.
That's
right.
That's too expensive. You want to put water and sewer and gas lines in, you have to blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, Perry, it is a good point about priorities, what Jim just alluded to. You know, it is amazing in this country what we say, that's too expensive. And, you know, I mean, we'll see if the conversation changes after this. But I don't know. Like you say, Jim, when that's your religion, austerity.
Mm-hmm.
Just your religion, I guess,
too,
you know.
Too expensive. Yeah.
Everything's collateral damage. Robert.
That's turning his back on God, too.
Rich people might have to pay taxes, and that's
right.
You can't have that.
Right. Robert in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Good morning. Thank you, guys. Any God that wants to punish children for anything like that is not God I want to be involved with.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
I just wanted to provide a little bit of caution. I was listening to Ari last night, and they had a caller bring up the similar type of thing, and then Ari and them checked some websites, and they found out that on the climate change, there's actually very little to do with tornadoes in all the climate change. There's very little evidence to support that. Hurricanes and everything else.
Okay, we got to continue after the break, and Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you sure?
Stephanie Miller.
You're really ready?
Yes. I'm ready to quit drinking.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, thank God.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were saying you can text Red Cross At 90999 to donate $10 to the victims in Oklahoma. We've been covering all the breaking news out of there all morning. Let's talk to Charlie Pierce.
Got
There's
it.
Only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Oh, it's my turn to be funny now? Is that
yes,
the deal?
That's it. No, I don't know if
hey,
you heard.
Hey, it was interesting. I didn't know the mighty power of your gayness was enough to control the weather.
Yes, apparently. Apparently. Me and my big gay abortions. Anyway, yeah, I don't know if you heard our this caller. But here we go.
Speaking
like clockwork.
Of Idiot America.
It's because, right, God, we've turned our back on God and blah, blah.
Then why not? This is what I never understand with this argument. If God sends, like, really bad weather to punish sins, why doesn't it ever hit Vegas?
Exactly.
Why does it hit, like, rural Oklahoma? What did they ever do?
As we've often said, your God sounds like kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, he certainly got terrible aim.
Yeah. As someone on Twitter just said, there should be a pillar of fire headed right towards this studio.
Yes, you think it would have hit here first.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, Charlie, it just seems like, you know, we talked to you, obviously, in the Boston Marathon bombing. It just seems like every other day we're you know, there's some horrible tragedy.
This is incredible. My mother, this is an old family story. My mother was alone during the great Worcester, Massachusetts tornado of 1953, which happened like 6 months before I was born, so that may have something to do with how I am. But it was at the time the largest tornado east, before Xenia, Ohio, it was the largest tornado east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And we were raised, I was raised in a terror. Every time the sky got dark, my mother would like hide under the bed. So, I mean, I can't only imagine what these people are going through, because this was even bigger than that. And
right.
I mean, when you're seeing entire, elementary schools blown apart and hospitals hit, and I mean, it's just horrendous.
Right. I mean, and like we were saying, when you didn't grow up in areas like this, it looks like a movie to us. And it's the overused analogy. It looks like a war zone. It looks like, but you're absolutely right. I mean, just how terrifying this had to be, for people not knowing which way it's going to go. That just all of it, the 2 miles wide,
two miles wide and on the ground for 45 minutes. That's the amazing thing. I mean, that's the real destructive power of it, was the fact that it was on the ground as big for as long as it was.
Mm. Yeah. Well, when you heard the president's speech, he talked about prayers, as our caller did, but he said prayers with deeds. Which, obviously what everybody's talking about this morning, Charlie, is Republican Senator Tom Coburn, who.
Yeah.
From Oklahoma, said, "Oh, I need offsets." Before.
Remember now, he's a reasonable guy. He's the guy that people always cite as saying somebody the president can work with.
Right.
He's a freaking monster
do
this. He's an absolute monster to do this. To use the suffering of his own people to extort, budget cuts which will cause suffering elsewhere in the country.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Who thinks like this? I mean, who makes this calculation 12 hours after, an entire town is obliterated?
Well, and somebody
an entire
said,
town of your own constituents is obliterated.
Right, and somebody said, oh, he's consistent. He voted against the Hurricane Sandy relief, too. He's consistently a jerk. If that's what, but I mean, someone was saying.
But he voted for, he voted for the bank bailout. He voted for Katrina relief. He voted for the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not bring principled stances into this, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what's sad is we had a woman call from Oklahoma and say, people will vote for people like Tom Comer because they hate Obama here so much. And
they bought into the cartoon of him.
Yeah, and there we are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's odd because I saw the cartoon on full display last night. I went up to New Hampshire to hear Rand Paul speak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The cartoons. Wow. Yeah.
And but the interesting one was the warm up act, which was obvious anagram Reince Priebus.
Yes.
And he is by God going to break the power of debate moderators over vetting the Republican candidates. That was a big deal in his speech.
Yeah.
He's not going to take this from Anderson Cooper anymore.
And Charlie, speaking of words and deeds, like we were saying, of course, we get accused immediately of, oh, you can't bring up climate change. You can't talk about that. And, meanwhile, you've got Sarah Palin with her dumb Facebook post yesterday about snowing in Alaska in May, no such thing as global warming. It's like, that kind of thing we hear every day. And in the wake of all of these extreme weather events, we're not supposed to talk about that ever.
Well, that to me, I think 12 centuries from now, when the survivors are all living on Pluto,
Right.
Nobody's going to believe this. I mean, nobody's going to go. Future historians are not going to believe the way we've sort of eliminated this entire subject from the debate over the existence of the subject, let alone its consequences. I mean, no one's going to believe it.
Yeah. Well, and I've said that. You know, unfortunately, they're going to go. Really, you denied what 99% of. Scientists, the scientific community thought?
You also denied the fact that your weather's gone, completely mad.
Right. Right.
It's gone mental.
It's gone mental, I must say. Right.
Yes.
But yeah, I that's the thing. And I was saying, Charlie, we've had this discussion, but why is this version of the Republican Party moved so far right and so far anti-science? The John McCains and the more, people that were, as you say, considered reasonable back a few years ago, I thought there was consensus.
Well, there was. I mean, there certainly used to be consensus on disaster relief.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't something we ever argued about, to my knowledge. But everything is now about somebody's perception of the budget. And at this point, with the budget deficit going down and everything else, this isn't about like economics anymore. This is about the purification rituals of suffering.
Yeah.
You enact enough suffering, you make us a better people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and as you wrote about our old gal, the girl with the faraway eyes, as you call Michelle Bachmann, has been one of the more vocal denizens of the monkey house, now screeching about the IRS and how it's going to be running our health care and demanding the right to audit us while we all have IV lines running into our arms or something. I mean, that's the thing, is they will politicize anything and try to connect anything to anything that makes the president look bad.
Yeah, right? I think if Tom Coburn isn't the absolute crystallization of everything that particular political philosophy is about, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I mean, one day after this thing, he's talking about offsets?
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the day of, wasn't it? Yesterday? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It was this morning on the morning shows.
Yeah, I thought it was on the morning shows this morning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as the woman who called you will say, this guy will get reelected.
Well, I think he's actually not running again, is he?
Well, no, you're right. Retiring.
Yeah, he's retiring.
He's retiring.
Yeah.
But somebody like him will get elected.
Yeah.
By the way, I love, of course, your roundup of the Sunday shows, but I mean, it really is incredible. We've been talking about this all week about the Watergate comparisons Watergate, Nixon, Watergate. By this logic, of course, because of the use of knives, every chef at Benihana's is a member of the Manson family.
Right.
And we had John Dean on to explain just how completely.
Yeah, yes, I mean, right. And by the way, as I tell people often, there are people who, when they tell me something, I don't argue with them. I just move to the next subject. Like, for example, and I said this at the time, when John McCain tells me that torture doesn't work, I take his word for it.
Right.
You know? When
right.
John Dean tells me something isn't Watergate, I take his word for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because before John Dean became like a hero, he was a crook.
Yeah.
He was in the middle of that.
It takes a thief.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, he does. He will recognize a Watergate when he sees it because he helped plan one.
Right.
I know. And that's the thing. It's just how they treat the John Deans of the world like a crazy liberal. It's like he's a Republican from the Nixon White House, you know.
Who went to jail.
Right. By the way, speaking of Republicans, you call or you direct our attention to the lovely state of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Where Scott Walker.
Putting everything up for sale. You want to buy a dorm? How about a prison? You want to buy a prison? You can buy a prison. Here, take the dorm. We'll throw the prison in for half price, really.
Yeah, seriously. You say we haven't looked in recently on the activities of Scott Walker, the twice-elected goggle-eyed homunculus hired by Koch Industries to manage their newest subsidiary, formerly known as the state of Wisconsin. It seems he and his pet legislature has decided to put what's left of the state's public patrimony out on card tables in the driveway to see who pulls up the old minivan to haul it away. And again, I'm not sure people are paying attention, but this guy's running for president.
Oh,
right?
There's absolutely no question about it. And do not sleep on him, because the one thing he has that none of these other people have, he beat the enemy back twice.
Right.
They tried to get rid of it. He's got a battle scar that none of these other guys have.
Yeah.
And he will use that, and he will sell it. And he's not popular at home, but he's dodged every bullet they've thrown at him. The investigation is done. And he went. I mean, he was in Iowa this weekend. He's thinking about it. Believe me.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Republican administrations, I think you were also struck as I was by Donald Rumsfeld being on Meet the Press to talk about the incompetence of the Obama administration.
Stars and garters.
Yeah.
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Yeah.
Who's the book editor? Who's the book editor who thought this was a good idea? By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Celestial Navigation by Joe Hazelwood. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there.
Exactly.
Let's give him another oil tanker and see what he does with it. Whee!
All right, Charlie, great stuff as usual.
Yeah, listen, everybody, you know, send money and pray and do what you can for the folks in Oklahoma because, yep. Number one, it looks like there's another weather pattern shaping up today.
Aye.
And as I said, this was integrated into my own family lore almost from birth, and it's a horrifying, terrifying experience, and anything we can do, including, you know, not electing somebody like Tom Coburn next time would be, you know, a perfectly adequate response, yeah. I think.
There you go. You can have prayers and deeds, as the president said this morning. Yeah,
All right.
That's up to the people of Oklahoma.
Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Slam. Okay, we were talking to Charlie Pierce. One of the things I love is his breakdown of the Sunday shows of Meet the Press. But
yeah.
He offers the actual transcript, and he was saying this is an example of how he calls him the dancing master, David Gregory, and why he drives us both insane. So Peggy Noonan, who he has on, I don't know, I think every week, said, this IRS thing is something I've never seen in my lifetime.
Oh, come on.
It's the revenue-gathering arm of the U.S. government, Gregory, because he does attempt journalism now and again. He said, Peggy, wait a second. Ms. Noonan, going after political, Gregory, Richard Nixon specifically directed people to investigate and audit people. I mean, of course we've seen it in our lifetime. Ms. Noonan, understood, but this is so broad.
What?
It's extremely broad and very abusive.
Normal
U.S. citizens just looking for their rights. And here's the thing, Gregory. Right, no question about the egregiousness of it. Ms.
What?
Noonan, if it doesn't stop now, it will never stop. Gregory,
God.
And Charlie writes, that's why he's the dancing master. You'll never see a better example of someone dancing backwards over his own valid point than that.
Yes, you're right.
He backs down.
It's like, worse. You're right.
Oh, you're right. Oh, now that you say it that way, it is worse than Watergate. You're right.
It's worse than the Holocaust. Yes, you're right. You're so right, Peggy. How could I have doubted you? Wow.
Jay Carney yesterday on the IRS.
On April 24th, as I said, the White House counsel, Kathy Rumler, was informed that the Inspector General for Tax Administration was completing a report about line IRS employees improperly scrutinizing what are known as 501c4 organizations by using words such as Tea Party and Patriot.
So, as we were saying, and you can criticize, and some people have, like, why didn't the president know about this, or why didn't they tell him, or why did he have to learn about it on the news? Mm-hmm. But it's the exact opposite of Nixon. Nixon, as we just said, directed it.
Right.
He planted someone at the IRS and directed mm-hmm. who to audit. The president, obviously, and that was the news that came out yesterday. White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough and other senior advisors knew in late April about this, the report that was going to come out saying the IRS had targeted these conservative groups, but McDonough and the other advisors did not tell Obama. So he, you know, and you were saying, Jim, I think John Stewart spoofed this, that he heard about it on the news. The White House cites the reason for that, of course, is because they want to avoid this Nixonian stuff of him. It's an ongoing investigation of him interfering in an ongoing investigation. Jay Carney defended keeping the president out of the loop on the IRS service audit, saying Obama was comfortable with the fact that some matters are not appropriate to convey to him, and this is one of them. It's absolutely a cardinal rule, as we see it, to not intervene in ongoing investigations. Obama advisors argue that the outcry from Republicans would be far worse had McDonough or the White House counsel, Kathryn Ruemmler, told the president about the IRS audit before it became public, thereby raising questions about White House interference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we've already learned the president can do no right in right-wing world, no matter what.
But the Tea Parties were abusing the privilege. They were not solely a, social welfare outfit. They clearly were political.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting in a new guy who will change the wording back to the original wording.
Right.
Exclusively, not exclusive-ish.
Yeah, I mean, well, right, and this is what we were saying, is this is why this is the absolute opposite of Watergate. as the AP is noting in this story, a White House peeking into an ongoing investigation can trigger a political uproar. A well-known case involved President Nixon trying to hinder the FBI's probe of the Watergate break-in. So, at any rate, that's Jay Carney yesterday.
After that initial notification in April, the White House counsel informed the chief of staff and other members of the senior staff. At no time did anyone on the White House staff intervene with the IRS Inspector General audit.
He was doing too much, not enough.
Again. Watergate. Nixon ordered a burglary. Okay. This is different in every way. Not only not worse than Watergate.
It's not remotely anything like Watergate. It wasn't directed by the White House.
Yeah. Okay. Frank in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Hi. Did you hear the news? God save the diamonds.
The what?
The mayor of Moore. Mm-hmm. And he was the mayor in 1999. He has a safe room in his downtown jewelry store in Moore. And he put all his employees in there and his diamonds and saved the diamonds.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. Right. And some. And meanwhile, as we were saying, they, I guess, decided some schools don't. It's too expensive to build.
Well, apparently this one school that was built in the 1960s before there were any like requirements for any kind of safe rooms or cellars in schools or anything. So,
okay. David in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, David.
Hey, Stephanie. You are a lovely lady, and I'm sure if you're liberal, people like your show. I am more conservative, and I do have a serious question about global warming.
Okay.
The scientists do say that there's been ice ages in the past. The ice has frozen, the ice has melted, the ice has frozen, the ice has melted. And here, mankind was not even around then, and now the ice is melting, and suddenly you're blaming the Republicans.
Well,
what do you say about that?
David, it's not me. It's 99.9% of the scientific community has said that climate change is real, and it is caused by men.
I know it's real, but why do you think it's the Republicans?
I don't think it's the Republicans. I think the Republicans deny
it's industry.
The entire scientific
community.
It's
people with ties
thinks.
To the oil industry.
Let me say this. 48% of the of our electricity in the United States is made from coal. You know, no carbon emissions is a noble cause. I understand that. But when we're swimming in a massive debt, how can you afford to get rid of 48% of our electrical generation and replace it with solar or wind?
Right, but nobody is talking about replacing all of it immediately with solar and wind. It is a process, and it's something that the scientific community is united behind.
And it's something, that we need to research on how to do more efficiently.
China has been building a new coal-fired plant every week for the past 7 years, and people can't breathe in Beijing anymore. And it's going around the world. I mean, it's unsustainable.
Yeah. Okay, Samantha in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Samantha.
Hi, I wanted to talk about the first gentleman caller from Georgia.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say that it's completely disgraceful to blame, you know, this disaster on turning our back on God, because as a Christian and a Democrat, I find the Bible does say, love thy neighbor and be compassionate. And basically help those less fortunate. And I find that that is mostly the Democratic view to help people. And I think that to blame this on them is just, it's a horrible excuse. It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Samantha, look, that's not to say that there aren't a lot of conservatives that are good people and I'm sure have already texted the Red Cross and are giving money. It's just, I think it's a basic difference in philosophy that should government be any part of the solution. And I think, yes. I
mean, sometimes government is the only entity that's big enough to help in a situation like this.
I mean, can you imagine this without FEMA? I mean, it's just, there's a scope where all government is not bad. Let's go to Marla in Michigan on FEMA as well. Hey, Marla.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You know, your previous callers, you can't fix stupid, the people that deny climate change. You know, you just can't talk to someone like that. But let's talk about the Republicans denying FEMA. They did not want FEMA in Oklahoma. Tom Coburn, who is a slime, does not want it. So, you know, how's the karma working out for them now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he basically, what he said this morning on the shows, in case people hadn't heard, Marla, is that, you know, he wants offsets before disaster relief. I mean, it's, and again, I think as Charlie was saying, disaster relief has never been political in this country. It just hasn't.
Yeah. I mean, who in their right mind would cut disaster relief?
Yeah.
Do you want more disasters? Is that
your
point?
And what better time than in the midst of a disaster?
Can we offset it with oil subsidies?
No. I'm sure. No, I'm sure they'd be happy to give up those. All right. By the way, so we were talking about Rumsfeld being on Meet the Press. Our friend, comedian Dean Abdallah, calling in next. He has a hilarious review of his book, Rumsfeld's Rules.
Yay.
Rummy's book. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, you can text Red Cross, just that, without a space or anything, right, to 90999 and donate $10. Obviously, we're all watching the horrifying images out of Oklahoma this morning.
And they text you a receipt in return, so you can have it for your records.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Prayers and deeds, as the president said this morning. All right. So I am frequently on CNN with our good friend Dean Abdallah. We were bumped yesterday, obviously. And we always enjoy each other. And he joins us now. He has a great new piece on Donald Rumsfeld. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you, Stephanie?
Good, good, good. By the way, I love your piece on Stop the Hate on Twitter. That you say Twitter has become the new Fight Club.
It has become the new Fight Club, and people are like, well, Facebook's not like that. I'm like, Facebook is like as dangerous as going to P.F. Chang's. It's not dangerous. Twitter is the Wild West, my friend. It is savage. People fight with each other, but my point is, like, I fight with people all the time on the right, but as long as we keep it about the substance, or we do, like, cutting remarks about each other that are, you know, like comedic things, that's fine. But the racist and sexist and homophobic stuff, which is escalating, I cite a report in there by Humboldt University, it's escalating, and we need to self-police it. People use Twitter, have to be like, hey, stop with that stuff. Let's keep it. You can make fun of me all day. You don't need to do racist crap or something about me being Muslim. There's no need for that. Let's keep it about the stuff and let's have fun and fight, you know.
Well, I was going to say, that's why I don't engage, because, Chris, what is the source of all evil?
Facebook.
Right, and Twitter.
And Twitter.
No, but it's true. It's like it's that sort of anonymous thing that people just feel free to you know, let their id out, right? I mean, in a way that's just
anonymous.
As you say, sometimes racist, sexist, homophobic, whatever.
Well, that's it, and that's why I made the analogy to the movie Fight Club. If people remember the movie, and I love that movie. It was like the duality of life. During the day, people were these, you know, Ed Norton was this timid insurance broker, but at night he became Tyler Durden, where he could unleash his inner animal and fight with people in the basement of a bar, and people of all walks of life can do it. And I think people do that on Twitter. They use this duality of life, and they're fighting on Twitter with people and forgetting that if you're being racist and sexist, homophobic and stuff, it's still wrong on Twitter. If you're anonymous or not, even if you're known who you are,
right?
It's wrong. Well, let's keep it about the issues.
Dean, listen, we're acquainted with this in talk radio because callers are obviously anonymous, so you would not believe some of the we hear on this show.
Right.
But in the analogy I can make here in L.A. is when you're in your cars, you scream things at people that cut you off that you would never say right to their face. But that's the as you say, the anonymity of Twitter, that people think, oh, no one knows who I am, so I can. You said you've been called, because you're Arab, you've been called a towelhead and also a stupid guinea because you're
half Italian. They get
me
on both sides. It's remarkable. You know, at least I'm actually find it refreshing when they use ethnic Italian slurs. I'm like, wow, you're calling me a stupid guinea. Thank you. You know, as opposed to towel head. The most I get is really about being Muslim. I mean, the stuff I get said to me, and I have such a thick skin as a comedian, so it's never offensive. I even appeal to some people. I'm like, let's be better. And that was my point. Let's tell people, if you see them tweeting or posting a kind of hate, spewing hate and garbage, say then, we're all on Twitter. Only 13% of Americans are on Twitter. It's a special place. Let's tell people, don't use that. Let's keep it about whatever.
Whatever you're debating.
Call me an idiot or a moron. Or I'm not funny. People call me I'm not funny every day. I get it. I don't care. Funny not. That's up to you. I'm not going to debate that.
Right.
No need for the towel head crap. And the stuff they say about blacks and Latinos in the study and gay people and disabled people is horrific. I don't care. Towel head is meaningless to me. This other stuff.
Yeah.
The N-word, Latinos, horrific stuff. Gay people, horrific stuff being said. And
listen, I just got accused this morning of causing the tornado because apparently it's because of gays.
Well, I mean, was there a debate? No, there's not two sides to that, is there? I mean, come on. Pat Robertson said it, and Falwell And, you know, we were supposed to, we've been on talking about Pat Robertson on CNN. That's the risk of not checking those guys, because people start believing their crap.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about, because I shared your sense of irony when watching Donald Rumsfeld on Meet the Press talking about the incompetence of the Obama administration. But he has a new book out, as it turns out. You say Rumsfeld's Rules Review, good rules, shame he didn't follow them, is the premise of your piece.
It is. I wrote for Newsweek's The Daily Beast, and it was my first article ever for them, so I hope people go check it out. I've been writing for CNN for like 2 years now, but it's basically his book. I reviewed it from a comedic but honest point of view. To me, it's sort of like a mix between the Game of Thrones meets The Secret. It's ridiculous rules, but tells you how to take over other countries. But he says that he gives you rules on all walks of life, how to be a good business person, a leader, a human being, and when you read the rules, they sound great. They make Rumsfeld sound like a cross between Steve Jobs and Gandhi. I mean, literally.
Right.
Unfortunately, he's not following any of the rules. I mean,
you
right. Don't follow that stuff.
You're right. Let me put it this way. If Jody Arias wrote a book one day offering dating tips, I'm sure it would be filled with suggestions like be a good listener and treat your partner as you want to be treated. It's highly doubtful. She'd recommend that you stab the person you're in a relationship with 29 times and then shoot them in the head. So he seems to...
You can't blame Rumsfeld. If I'm writing a book, I'm going to make myself sound great. You know, Stephanie, if you wrote a book, we would admit certain faults. But if you're giving advice, you're going to say these great stuff. It's like fortune cookie philosophy in his book. There's nothing amazing about it. It's very simple, like don't blame your boss and be honest and all this
right.
stuff. Learn to say I don't know was one of my favorite in there.
Right.
You know, he's like, and he says that one whole chapter. Yeah, but I wish you would have said that about the weapons of mass destruction. Instead,
right.
I quote where he said, we know where they are. They're around Crete and Baghdad. If you didn't know, I wish he would have said I didn't know. But instead...
Yeah.
You know, it's such a charade.
It is sort of hilarious. You say there's a glaring problem with Rumsfeld following this formula in the book. It's a little thing called Google. A quick search for Donald Rumsfeld will quickly highlight the disconnect between the rules he's advocating and his own prior actions. And you go one by one. It really is kind of hilarious. Like that one, the I don't know. This is one of my favorites. The proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Well, if you do,
right.
Of course, proper preparation would mean if we were going to war in Iraq, which I was completely against, but if you're going there, at least prepare the troops with the right armor they need for their vehicles. And, of course, famously in 2004 when Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense, some soldier said, why do I have to go through landfills to find armor to protect my vehicles? Why can't you give us properly outfitted vehicles? And he famously said to Rumsfeld, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish you have. You'd wish to have at a later time.
Right.
So if he would have prepared, been fine. But instead of preparing, he goes, look, you get what you get.
Right.
Suck it up, buddy. We're paying you, what, a dollar a day or something like that?
Right.
And you're putting your life on the line, and we're going to, you know, you're going to be here forever because we're not letting you out of your commitment and extending your stay beyond what you thought. So to me, it was ridiculous. But people will buy this crap from him, and he's making money from it. And, you know, the philosophy really is fine.
Yeah,
because I wish he followed it. And
right, you said the other one is don't blame the boss; he has enough problems. And then you recall the widespread looting after Saddam Hussein was toppled and his security forces no longer in control. Rumsfeld could have acknowledged he simply hadn't planned for that contingency, and then he famously said, "Stuff happens."
Stuff happened, and then he blamed freedom.
Right.
So at least he didn't blame his boss. He did follow his advice. He blamed the people of Iraq for having freedom, not his own failings. And for seeing, when you get rid of the security apparatus that Saddam Hussein had put in there, people might be free to do whatever they want, some Hobbesian world, where man becomes a beast and will rob whatever he can because he's only had oppression for all this time. How would you not anyone sit around with any confidence go like, you know, we might want to plan. For
yeah.
If we get Saddam out and his forces gone.
That was one of my favorites. See, the freedom's untidy.
Freedom,
gracious.
He's the Don. Like, yeah. I think he's the original Donald. Like, forget Trump. You know, if anyone's going to gleefully say you're fired, it's Rumsfeld. This
yeah.
is a guy who's mean. He treated Condi Rice horribly. And, you know, and I was reading, I didn't put it in there. He made her cry at a meeting. Like, he was a terrible guy. He really is not a good human being, I think. And the fact that he's not in jail, as some people would put in the comments, is probably, he should be ecstatic. Instead, he's writing books about how great
yeah.
a guy
is. And then the last one you highlight is plan for uncertainty. And you say, in his defense, he did follow this rule during the Iraq war in the 80s when he was instrumental in securing weapons for both sides in the conflict, including chemical and biological weapons for Saddam Hussein. And so you say, when you think about it, it makes sense. Why bet on just one horse in a two-horse race, right?
You got two horses, bet on them
right.
both, right?
Right.
He did follow
Everyone
his
wins.
Advice, so I had to pat him on the back for that one. Plan for uncertainty. You know, if you're going to have, there's two sides in the conflict for a 10-year war, don't let them both know it. Give both sides things. So whoever wins, you're like, look, we helped you. So I mean, I'm inspired by him. I'm going to write a book about my comedy, making myself say I'm the greatest comedian in the world and hope nobody Googles my act. That's all I'm hoping. Nobody Googles me. They're like, Dean said he was great. He's better than Rock and Louis C.K. and everyone else, so I'll take his word for
I'll
it.
I'll just take your word for it. All right, Dean, see you in the TV machine. Great stuff, honey. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Dean Amendola.
Freedom, chaos, same thing.
Freedom
What's
tiny.
The difference?
Free people are free to do bad things. That's the way it
That's
goes.
The price of freedom.
Okay. Sue in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Wonderful show.
Thank
Stephanie,
you.
You're the greatest.
Thank you.
I wanted to address the earlier nutcase that called about you guys aren't familiar with the Bible. Do you know, I think it's your own fault, to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
These disasters get worse and worse. I mean, come on, that in Oklahoma, 200-mile-an-hour wind on the ground for 40 minutes, and the first thing that comes out of the media is biblical proportions, epic, you know. This goes right to the heart of those crazies. Don't you understand? You're playing to their... to what they believe. It's God. It has nothing to do with global warming or scientific anything.
Right.
You've got to stop that.
I see.
Because you're giving the ammunition they want.
I see. All right. It's the hereby banned saying biblical proportions. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Dogs and cats living together, also banned. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by SodaStream. Fun. Wow.
Fun.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, seriously. All right. We've been talking, obviously, about the devastation in Oklahoma all morning. Don't forget, you can text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 instantly. Jane in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jane.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to talk about the fact that we've established this area, obviously, of this tornado alley. Maybe it's time the government start contemplating some eminent domain to give nature its path, as we didn't do in the Everglades, as we didn't do in the Gulf. And we need to perhaps think of the Dust Bowl mentality of relocating people and creating an area that's actually the swath area. Now, I am smart enough to know that it hits a lot of different states.
Right.
But if we really start reconsidering more are being hit how many times in how many years, we might want to reconsider rebuilding and rebuilding only to be destroyed. And when we do rebuild, if you're going to do it, at least establish areas that are truly safe areas and not drowning pools for these poor children, or areas that are just completely decimated by death and destruction. And I spoke to you about 12 years ago when I lived in California, and I've waited a long time to get on, and thank you for just hearing this, but I think we need to consider pushing for government regulations for not allowing
people to rebuild. Gee, I wonder if the right will be at all cooperative in that regard, or do you think there'll be a lot of screams
much.
Of
Being
socialism?
Being a Democrat, I've learned that. I voted for McGovern.
Exactly. But I wonder how soon it'll be before we hear Hitler on that one.
Yeah, it's also easier said than done. I mean, you know, if you hear... people across the United States say, why don't we just move people out of California every time there's an earthquake? You can't do that, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easier said than done to move a bunch of people out of Oklahoma.
And there's always those kind wishes that we actually float off into the sea.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Thanks for that. Appreciate that. Daryl in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I love your show.
Thank you.
It's kind of a philosophical question, but it's in response to the man who was... making comments about God and the end times and gays and things like that.
Right.
I'm kind of agnostic on the God question. The thing that troubles me is I can't understand how people can reconcile a good God with natural disasters and the tragedies like the one in Oklahoma yesterday.
That's as Rude Pundit has said so rudely, your God is kind of a I mean, seriously. I mean, really? God's going to... That's the kind of God you believe in? Someone that says, oh, I don't like gays. I think I'll kill some school children in Oklahoma.
Yeah, the whole concept just... I mean, as I was watching the disaster yesterday, I just couldn't understand how anyone could still look at God and say, hey, he has our best interests.
Well, yeah, people want to believe in an all-powerful, good God. Well, he's either all-powerful and
a jerk, right?
Well, you know, if he's that good, then he must be incompetent. If he's not incompetent, then he's evil. You know, it's.
I wonder if we'll get any phone calls on those thoughts.
Yeah. Send the cards and letters to
directly to Jim Ward. Rock in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rock.
How you doing?
Good.
I wonder if the guy in Georgia ever considered in his factor of the reason for the devastation in Oklahoma, the fact that no county in Oklahoma voted for Barack Obama. It would make as much sense.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I know. Pat Robertson never has any explanation for when disasters hit red states.
But the real tragedy is, the religious left never blames natural disasters on the failings of the right, but it's always the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to Daniel in Florida. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to comment about the caller who said, God's destroying children. Because we're doing homosexuality. In the Bible, there's nothing about homosexuality. When they talk about it, it's referred to unnatural acts. That's bestiality.
Right.
I believe in God, but I also believe in science. We're throwing 750 million metric tons of poison into the air every day.
Dan, that is exactly the point. This is the discussion I never understand. Why can't we believe in God and science? I don't understand.
God is the ultimate scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these people, they're the Flat Earth Society. They're the same ones who undermine our sanctions against Iran, fund cartels on Wall Street. Day traders don't pay a dime in tax with a sweep of, hedge fund managers. Republican Party has been ripping us off since Ronald Reagan, and they just keep, you're going to be stupid.
Yeah, I've got to say, who's Reverend Jim Wallace, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, is so good on this topic about how, this is part, and a lot of Christians are talking about it, about global warming in the context of religion. Remember Ann Coulter saying, God said, here's the planet's yours, take it, rape it, it's yours?
Yeah.
It's like,
chapter?
Where did you get that from?
Yeah. We're doing a good job of that, thanks.
Yeah, then I guess we're really Christian. Marcia in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, it's Marcia.
Oh, Marcia, sorry.
It's okay. It happens all the time. two things. One, I think that arguing that about climate change, like the guy that was calling earlier who said he was a conservative and really wanted to understand why we how we could make this argument, I think for those people it would be best if we changed our dialogue to zero waste and zero pollution, because I think that if we aim for a goal, it's like this. We don't need to change what they believe. We need to change how they vote. And so if they can't get with that, then maybe they can get with just cleaning up and voting for cleaning up.
Yep. Well, at the very least. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, that's
Stephanie Miller.
It's like meeting Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney at the same time.
Right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we've been saying all morning, text Red Cross at 90999. You can automatically donate $10 to help out in Oklahoma. All right, let's go to Rob in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
I wanted to
I wanted to say something to Jim just real quick, so because he did say that about God and power.
Yes.
God is living proof that absolute power corrupts absolutely. But still. I wanted to make a point. I keep forgetting the guy's name, the comedian that was just on.
Dean, thank you,
was making a quote from Donald Rumsfeld about knowing where the weapons of mass destruction were. And that, believe it or not, that was the quote that got me politically involved, because I was watching that Sunday show, and the whole quote went, we know where the weapons of mass destruction are. They're in Tikrit and Baghdad, and north, south, east, and west of there. And I was waiting for somebody to go, well, wait a minute. North, south, east, and west of someplace is every place else. So aren't you really just telling us you don't know where anything is?
Yeah, exactly. It's a long version of I don't know.
Yeah, and nobody said anything about that. I was like baffled by that, and I started listening. That was actually when I found Air America Radio, and I started listening to people like Randy Rhoads and eventually Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
And Tom Hartman, all these guys. And I'm really grateful for you guys, because honestly, like you hear stuff like that, and nobody's bothering to say boo about it, and it fascinates me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just
north of east, south, west, western, right. South, Northland.
Right. It's actually good timing he's out with his book now, because you really are comparing. You're playing compare and contrast
right.
with anything happening in the Obama administration and the Bush administration.
Exactly. Oh, by the way,
yes.
the mayor of Moore, Oklahoma, was on CNN this morning, and the mayor was asked, why didn't this school have a storm shelter? And the mayor said, only schools built after 1999 in Oklahoma are required to have one. Anything before that, they're not required to have one. And so the CNN reporter said, well, why didn't this school have one? They just said it was cost.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
pure
that's
cost.
That's what we were saying.
Yep.
Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Two quick things, okay? And for the right-wingers, the climate deniers, they need to get very close. I'll speak slowly. Okay? The Earth will be fine. In the millions and millions of years of Earth's existence, there will and always will be adaptations and changes to climate. It's whether we humans will make ourselves extinct.
Right.
Right.
It's what we're doing so that our human bodies, our forms, cannot breathe and be sustained in the climate we're allowing to be created. So please grow a brain, Moran.
All right, thank you.
What is the why? Wait a minute, one more thing, Steph.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. One thing I want to take you quickly to task. You say at least Tom Coburn is consistent. Now, people who don't.
He's consistently douchey. Yes.
Well, he's consistent. You know who else was consistent? Come on, Jim.
Well, actually, in some ways, Hitler wasn't consistent, because he was, you know, hell-bent on wiping out Jewish people, yet he was a big fan of Peter Lorre. He wanted to come back to Germany and shoot more films there, and Lorre said, no thanks, no one's trying to kill me here, and quite a nice career going.
Wow, okay.
All right, well, nice try, Sue. Okay, if you heard our earlier Bible Thumper who stumbled across my show, he is, you know what? A lot of people recovering from surgery stumble across my show.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, and I apparently am probably not making his recovery better, because Gay, specifically me, caused the tornadoes, according to him.
You gave him agita.
Oh, well, more specifically my gay abortions,
yes.
I guess, are what, because we've turned against God.
Whatever!
And something, so
right.
That's why.
That's why there's weather.
Yeah. Right. It was his point.
All right, then.
But by the by, I was saying, we were saying, as gay rights is, you know, obviously little people uncomfortable like him, gay rights marching forward at such a pace. However, with the gay guy that was killed in Greenwich Village, and there's another story that's been out there today that I wanted to touch on that is, I just find incredible in the year 2013, this high school girl.
Yes.
Have you read this story?
Oh, my God.
It's all over the interwebs, of course. A girl expelled from high school and charged over a lesbian relationship she had it was a consensual relationship with another. When Florida high school student Caitlin Hunt was 17, she began dating a 15-year-old teammate on her girls' basketball team. Caitlin's parents say the parents of the 15-year-old never complained to them about the consensual relationship, but a few months after Caitlin turned 18, the younger girl's parents had her arrested.
Yeah.
So she's charged with a felony, sexual battery, yada, yada.
Statutory rape.
Also got her expelled from school. A judge and the school refused to grant the request, and then she got the school board to expel her. So enter, you know, Anonymous, the global hacker collective. They've launched a Twitter hashtag justice for Caitlin. They write, the truth is Caitlin Hunt is a bright young girl who was involved in a consensual same-sex relationship while both she and her partner were minors. She has a big future ahead of her, and there are people, thousands of people, in fact, that have no intention of allowing you to ruin it with your rotten selective enforcement. But it's sort of a shocking story, right?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if there's any other, her mother said they're out to destroy my daughter because they feel like she made their daughter gay. They see being gay is wrong and blame my daughter. Of course, I see it 100% differently. I don't see or label these girls as gay. They're teenagers in high school experimenting with their sexuality with mutual consent. Even if their daughter is gay, who cares? She's still their daughter.
But have there been similar heterosexual things like that?
Well,
where turns 18 and the other still not past the age of consent? Has that happened? Have they prosecuted them?
It just seems egregious. She was also kicked off the school's basketball team by the coach in order to avoid drama.
Yeah.
By creating more drama.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Now
exactly.
It's nationwide drama, and it's hit Facebook, and so there are all kinds of Facebook pages in support of Caitlin.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I think when somebody tried to claim, oh, it doesn't have to do with sexuality, it's like, oh, come on.
We're not dumb.
Come on now. All right. By the way, since we've been talking about climate change all morning, I must blind you with some more science. I think it's only fair because I've been saying, you know, we have to talk about, and we got a bitch slapping from a cancer specialist.
We got a bitch slapping?
Yeah. Well.
What do you mean, we, Kimosabe?
Him.
Jim. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you why. No, Andrew. It's interesting though, because we do believe in science here at the Stephanie Miller Show. We were, because everybody, a lot of people still talking, obviously, about Angelina Jolie and her decisions. He writes, Steph, there was talk on the show of Angelina Jolie and her decision to have a preemptive double mastectomy. I have no opinion one way or another on that decision. Don't know enough about it to know, but I do have something to say about the spinoff discussion on causes of cancer and changes in the rates of cancer. I am the official nothing of the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, welcome. But I do happen to be a cancer epidemiologist. Despite popular belief among some of your listeners and staff, cancer rates simply are not dramatically different now from when Jim, your listener, or you or I were kids. They just aren't. People our age are more aware of cancer now that we're in the neighborhood of 50 because it's much more salient to our lives than the average 10-year-old. And we are just more aware of the world around us than the average 10-year-old. To suggest we're witnessing some sort of epidemic of cancer in the early days of the 21st century is to speak in ignorance of the facts. If you want to know, do a Google search for cancer facts and figures. The truth is, overall, cancer mortality in the country has held roughly constant since at least the 50s, which I didn't know any of this. If you consider that during this time there was a genuine surge of huge proportions in lung cancer deaths, the result of the adoption of smoking as a cultural norm in the 20s through the 50s, then the mortality from other cancers has declined pretty substantially in this time. As to the causes of cancer, this is one of the worst examples of pop wisdom trumping science. Everyone thinks they know which toxic chemicals caused the cancer that killed their friend or relative, but it's a well-established scientific fact that pesticides, pollutants, preservatives, nuclear radiation, cell phones, power lines, etc., cause only a trivial part of the overall cancer burden in the country, if they cause any cancers at all. We tease the other side for being ignorant, anti-science rednecks, but too many of us still promote these flaky crackpot theories of the big industrial boogeyman poisoning our air, water, food, and giving us all cancer, without any actual evidence to support these claims, and despite all the evidence they are not true. Yes, there are isolated cases where chemical exposures have been linked to cancer, but they're exceedingly rare. Probably 99% of the cancer in the U.S. has nothing to do with that. So he just goes on to talk about what does cause cancer. He says, easy. Number one, smoking. Still the biggest cause of cancer in the country, a huge risk factor. A quarter of the population smokes. Number two, alcohol. That's where he lost me.
What?
Captain Buzzkill. If consumed in large quantities.
Literally, Captain Buzzkill.
But most people don't drink close to the level that significantly increases risk, i.e. not many people are genuine alcoholics. Number three, obesity. Obesity, a risk factor for almost every cancer. With the growing obesity epidemic, he says, in the country, we may actually see a reversal in the downward trends in cancer incidence. Number four, physical inactivity. Linked to obesity, also a risk factor in itself. Americans are largely sedentary. We've engineered physical exertion out of our lives. Number five, diet. Also linked to obesity. The details are controversial, but I think there's little doubt that eating a diet that's low in high in fruits and vegetables, he's talking about all the stuff you're not supposed to. High saturated fat, high red meat, high in processed food, and low in fiber promotes many types of cancer. Anyway, so then he goes on about the genetic thing, because obviously Angelina Jolie had a specific genetic mutation.
Yeah.
He said, of course genetics play a role, but not in the way most people think. The number of people who have a cancer gene is tiny. Anyways, that's a serious mutation, blah, 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 extremely rare, and 95% or more of all cancers we have what are called sporadic cancers. It's not a bad gene you were born with, but the alteration of a whole bunch of genes you were born with that otherwise would function fine. Genes play a role because genes play a role in everything the body does, but the genes did not predestine these people to cancer. So anyway, he just finishes by saying, encouraging her naively, this pseudoscience silliness to have an apparently legitimate place in your airtime is somewhat less than a public service. It's anti-intellectual, anti-science, anti-evidence, anti-rigorous thinking, and a distract from the real issue. It's our lifestyle that is killing us. Anyway, so that's Andrew with his...
So above-ground nuclear testing had nothing to do with cancer rates in this country. Okay.
But he's saying that people that have national platforms like radio shows shouldn't just say things that encourage people to, you know, to do things health-wise.
When was the last time?
Get the facts and get the science.
When was the last time we had above-ground nuclear testing?
The early 60s.
Yeah. So.
All right.
But I'm just talking about, he was mentioning cancer rates since the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, the nuclear age.
Right.
Since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And,
right. Well, the point is well taken that you were saying when you were a kid, you don't know any other kids that had cancer.
No. And so it seems like it's normal now.
Yeah, but what he's saying is that if you Google it, and it's from the American Cancer Society, mm-hmm. they have not actually gone up. But anyway, all right, 45 minutes after the, I am blinded with science now. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Aw, Joplin reaches out to help in Oklahoma. Those are the headlines you like to see, you know, that you love to see. People, obviously, all over the country texting Red Cross to 90999 to help. Obviously, the picture's just devastating out of Oklahoma. By the way, I wanted to mention another happy thing in the midst of the tragedy. The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, welcome twins over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
She and her lovely wife, Warren, have two twin boys that were born over the weekend. Hooray!
Congratulations to them.
Hooray. All right. By the way, we were talking about that, obviously, after Sandy Hook, it was not the right time to talk about guns. After mm-hmm. this, it's not the good time to talk about climate change and mm-hmm. extreme weather events and all that. And we say, phooey on
apparently
that.
It's
we
never say, a good time s- yes. to talk about anything.
We say nuts to that.
Right.
Now is not the time to talk about nuts.
Because we're big dorks, apparently. Yeah. But Paul has sent me the GOP logic thing on the interweb. Everyone in America having a gun will make us safer. Everyone in America having health care will destroy us. WTF?
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Andy with some advice. Steph, since the Bushes like to call themselves 41 and 43, let's start referring to Bill as Clinton 42 and Hillary as Clinton 45. That should drive the right way. Yes, I imagine it will. Michelle Malkin on the president yesterday.
It's not merely because of my ideology that I give this particular administration such short shift. This kind of brass-knuckled intimidation, whether it's directed now against grassroots activists and small nonprofits, or reporters and journalists like James Rosen and Fox News. This is a theme that has been played over and over again, not only with this White House, but, of course, with the Obama campaign.
I'm glad she acknowledged her idiocracy.
Hmm? Right.
What, sorry?
That's
oh, ideology.
Yes,
that's what she
meant. No,
okay.
Short
shift?
Hmm?
Shrift. Yeah, she meant shrift. Bless her heart.
Yes, interesting, because the right wing has always been the one saying that we should be tougher on leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Carney on the...
He is a defender of the right of the press to pursue investigative journalism. He is also, as I've said, as president and as a citizen, insistent upon the need to make sure that classified leaks that can endanger our national security and endanger the lives of American women and men and women overseas, be taken seriously.
Brian in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Steph, first-time caller. I just want to say I love you guys.
Thank you.
Watch y'all every day. Hard being a liberal in Oklahoma.
Yikes.
It's the first time I've called in.
How close are you to...
about an hour away from Shawnee, okay. And about 20 minutes away from Senator Tom Coburn, who, you know, it's disgusting that he would vote down and make this thing political at this time.
Yeah.
But also I have a couple little, like I said, a little downer for him and a little bit of praise for the president. My wife, you know, she works for the Commerce Department, which is one of the jobs that the president has created since one of the 700 and since, what, 2 million jobs that we've created?
Right.
Right. With the stimulus, office?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But, and also, you know, for him to respond within hours after this tragedy and, you know, how long it took Bush to respond to Katrina, it just showed, even though he didn't getting a little nervous.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. He had FEMA there in advance. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Norma in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Norma.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've been recently going to a Christian church. I recently became a Christian, and that doesn't mean that I don't believe in science, however, because I am a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed, though, is that a lot of people in there talk about it's the end of times. And see, they talk in the book of Revelations about the storms increasing. And I truly think the right wing believes that if they were to address climate change, they would be going against God's will.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
But what I always try to...
I don't know. I have the crazy idea that God might want us to take care of the planet. Call me madcap.
And what I tell them is that God created scientists, too.
That's true.
There you go. Snap. Okay, Richard in Illinois on the same subject. Hi, Richard.
I'm glad I followed that guy. I am a conservative evangelical, and I just believe that conversation-wise, it's you don't listen to us, because I go to a lot of standard evangelical churches, and all of them are very aware of global climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, and mm-hmm. do everything they can. The church that I go to in my small town, we don't even have air conditioners. Because we don't want to add to mm-hmm.
I think that's that one caller that called that I said that I didn't say I in fact I was but, making a point that a lot of Christians do talk about climate change.
But it seems like the left or programs like yours want to always highlight that those three people in the big church, and that represents the big church. I mean,
no, we were talking about the guy that called in. I mean, that's not what I mean. Yeah. That was my point, is that I thought there used to be consensus even among Christians, among Republicans, that mm-hmm. climate change was happening and was caused by man.
I mean, the day and age of Christians being Republicans, I think that day has come and gone. And I think the day and age that Christians are Democrats is going to come and go, because I think that Christians need to stand on their own against a corporatist kind of mentality on the right, meaning the Republicans, which is not compatible with Christian life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you look at the secularization of the United States, where it's no longer, well, there's never been separation of church and state. It's never existed, but it's a lie pulled enough times where now you have the Democratic Party champion it. So, I mean,
what do you mean there's never been separation of church and state?
When has it ever been? I mean, I wish you guys would read some books by William Federer. I mean, you can see that the history of our Congress, the history of the United States, was never to be oppositional towards religion. It was oppositional towards a denomination.
It was freedom of and freedom from religion, if you wanted, actually.
Sure.
Well,
so you're saying atheists don't have a place at the table?
That's quite acceptable. That's quite acceptable historically. I agree with that. But the problem is now you have like an ACLU kind of people, a place that was started, an organization that was started by a man who was vehemently anti-religion. He was, he was a communist, for goodness sakes. So I mean, when you have this kind of historical,
I thought you just said atheists do have a place at the table.
They do, of course they do. But they don't.
So why doesn't someone like the founder of the ACLU have a place at the table?
Because you get what we have today, a factoid that's passed around and around as mess, to where a separation of church and state means that nobody can pray in school, that nobody can mention God anywhere, nobody can mention Christ Jesus, nobody can mention these things. That's absurd. I mean,
nobody is saying that nobody can mention God or Christ in schools.
Right. Okay.
Who said that?
I don't know. We're out of time, sadly. We won't hear the rest of that argument today.
Okay. I think he's just getting a little defensive, that's all.
I'm not defensive. You're the one defensive. Shut up.
All right. I would like to thank Godless Communist Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, Travis on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.